listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, July 6th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here, as always. I'm excited tonight.
As always, I'm glad to have you and excited to have you, too.
Yay!
And I'm especially excited to have those joining us in the live chat. We always appreciate your contributions, especially some great ones tonight. And thanks to those taking the time to catch up with us in our archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, we're going to kind of have a bit of an open discussion, but, you know, Dr. Vicki, you and I were talking a lot about free will, and we talked about this as a topic, you know, a few months back as a specific topic, and we talked about it on kind of related things, but we were just kind of talking about this idea of free will, and, you know, one of the things that I love about having people join us live for this, you know, taping of this broadcast is the contributions. And, you know, as always, we just have to put a huge thanks to our card keeper, Wendy, you know, who keeps track of the inner oracle cards that we pull. We pull inner oracle cards and tarot cards, you know, towards the end of our broadcast every week. And just seeing some of the patterns here are just, you know, fascinating. And just a huge thanks again. That's, you know, just incredible work. And the insight that reveals is just, you know, fascinating.
Well, that's why I'm just so excited when Wendy put in the chat that she had some statistics for us. I went, whoa, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to take this moment, Michael, to read it. That's
absolutely
right. Wendy says, here's an update for the first 6 months of 2022. And whoever's in the archives, and if you're not familiar with their program, these are names of people who are often here, so, and in the live chat and getting cards drawn. So, the card that has been drawn most often is number 30, Greatness to Deliver. Well, second and third most drawn cards are actually tied, and they are 1, Perfection, and number 7, Self-Mastery. The wild card drawn most often is number 7, Hope. Huh, now it gets interesting, writes Wendy. Jamil had the most wild card number 7s of hope drawn. He had the most cards with 7s in them, including card 7, wild 7, 17, and 37. Lots of 7s going on there. Jamil also had the most number 7 self-mastery cards drawn. So, like, I'm blown away reading this, too, you know. So, Dr. Mike and Wendy tied for the most Number 30, Greatness to Deliver cards. Audra and Ronaldo had the most number one perfection cards drawn. And the rest were fairly mixed. She also added here that she found it odd that as many cards that have been drawn for Dr. Edward, that he really had a mix and not many duplicates. Whoa. So that's fascinating. So that, you know, there's energies at work individually and collectively, Michael, always. So, you know, what is coming up for us, you know, like the most card drawn for the group. And you got to think of the odds mathematically. That's pretty astounding.
And that,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that's one of the things I love the most about things like this in, you know, seeing the cards that pop up, the repeats, and the probabilities of that. That's what I love about, you know, life trying to, you know, maybe convey messages, or is there a destiny? Are we, you know, on a particular track? Is there, you know, the universe, you know, kind of trying to communicate things to us through these cards showing up repeatedly, going against the odds? And, you know, that kind of tied into our discussion, what we were talking about, Dr. Vicky, about, you know, free will and how much of it, you know, that we think we actually have versus
what's going on.
Right. Yeah. What is going on under the surface versus what's going on, you know, in the conscious mind?
Well, before we get into that, Michael, I want to address, there's questions in the chat about what the number seven,
oh,
means.
Excellent. Yeah, yeah, of course.
And what that might mean to Jamil, of course. Now, I've always seen the seven as a fundamental number. And I'm just going to Google. I'm going to read you what the angel numbers say. Seven's a powerful angel number that symbolizes a person's inner wisdom, self-awareness, intuition, and mysticism. For spiritual maturation and progress, all those elements are essential. When it comes to numerology, this is a number that represents the right blend of spirituality and practicality. So that's that interpretation, and I totally go with it. Seven is also that fundamental number. You know, we think of it as a lucky number, a mysterious number, but we live sevens. We're living sevens, 7 days in a week. There's actually, if you boil it down, there's seven exact equal cycles in a day, Michael. There's 752 days in a year. So we're living sevens. Seven wants to be heard in its basic form. So, you know, it's the thing that we overlook.
And I'm sorry if I missed it. I mean, did you already talk about, you know, its mathematical significance as, you know, a prime number and different things like that as well?
Well, it is. And I know an astrologer I know says that if you happen to be in a 7 year, for example, seven is not going to let you move on if you're missing a beat. So if, for instance, if you have, let's say, a business deal going and it's delayed and delayed, it's because there's something in the fine print to see. And I've kind of witnessed that, you know, quite a bit in my life, that seven is the teacher. So rather than looking at it as though being wonderfully intuitive and so on, which it is, it's look at what we're repeating that we can learn from and rise above from, and that requires the intuition. So fundamentally or practically, seven wants to be heard, saying, hello, you know, there's something here we want to look at. So it's no way a negative. It's just, I love sevens. It's just that seven is a teaching one. Dr. Edwards saying it's an elegant number, and he said he says, I know that's strange to say about a number, but that is how he sees it. I agree with you. It has its elegance.
You know,
but it's a teacher.
I know that humans are designed to see patterns and everything, and I know that most of this numeric user ID is not seven, but we're talking about sevens. Dr. Edward makes a post about sevens, and then we have a user that logs into chat without a username that's Starts with a 7 and ends with a 7. So it's a 7 kind of day, you know. If it's July, the 7th yeah. month. If only it was July 7th. Oh, my God, how perfect would that be?
I know.
If only.
Well, it's... So here's... I mean, somebody had to come up with these interpretations, and who made up those interpretations in the first place, Michael?
Yeah.
You know, so that's a question in and of itself. When we start determining what means what, really it's subjective, and, you know, things, you know, kind of take different forms. You know, interpretations are many. But I think when something repeats in our life, especially repeating, then there's something to be learned by it. And I do think that we each have our own frequency. We're each on our own ride trying to navigate life. Now, of course, Wendy said this. I really wasn't trying to steal our free will topic. You're not at all. I see how this segues beautifully in that our free will exists within our frequency. Like, you can't suddenly one day, I'm going to go and be a doctor, you know, you could if you wanted to, but if you don't have those skills, you're not going to make a very good doctor. Or so it's really about staying on your own frequency and moving forward with that. But there's always going to be those esoteric kinds of teachers or lessons. So I see the universe manifesting different ways to show us, and we take that ride of, let's say, our own numbers, if we want to look at it that way. But it's a frequency. Each of us has our own reality.
Isn't that the truth? Especially now. Although I guess you could say that it's kind of always been that way. But you know, there's something profound in that statement, and it's something that I think we need to understand if we're going to be able to make it through the next, you know, decade or two.
I know. I think that here, what is free will? Number one, if we're living an esoteric or universal reality, you know, and is there something, you know, in our super consciousness that's directing us, even though unbeknownst to us, versus that living in a physical reality, in a community, in a government, you know, in a section of laws, you know, so we have our physical existence being managed, if you will, and how much power or control or free will do we have in that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we might think we do, but it's still within the confines of, for instance, you want to drive a car, there are rules to driving a car. You can't just get in a car and go drive. You have to get a driver's license. You have to wear a seatbelt, you know.
I mean, you really have to. I mean, as long as the engine starts, you can kind of just roll with it. But there's consequences to,
exactly.
to those decisions.
There you go. So there's rules. And if you don't live by those rules, you're going to pay a price. Simple. And, of course, we have to collectively agree to that in order for that rule to stand, you know, because people keep changing the rules. We all know that these days. So it's, what free will do we have in there? Most of us just go along with it, you know, because whatever.
Well, and this is another thing we were talking about too. You know, we're the human animal, and yes, we do have free will. Everything's not just determinism, in my view. But there are a lot of things that influence our conscious thought without our really knowing it, in a very instinctual way. So, yes, we have free will, but we're also the human animal. And I was talking with Dr. Vicky earlier about a article I was just kind of skimming through before the program. I didn't have enough time to read it, but the main takeaway was, you know, the headline was, people tend to click with people that smell like them. And not so much that they use the same fragrances or anything like that, but it's more, you know, kind of a pheromone type thing, you know, and it just relates to how complicated the human experience is, how complicated the human mind is. How, yes, you cannot deny that humans have free will, but, you know, at the same time, how do we define what our choices are? You know, how do we define what we can and cannot do, or how we can exercise that free will? We were talking about, you know, what's lawful and the consequences that come with that. And, you know, so those are just some of my thoughts on that.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Zach just wrote something that I don't want to miss this one, Michael. So he just wrote something in the chat, and this is good. I love how he's phrased this. He said, this is a common question in astrology. The planets are fixed in their movements, so the conflicts are already written in the stars and cycles. But how we respond to those conflicts and challenging situations are determined by our free will.
Yeah.
Now, that's, you see, I'm a believer in that. Now, I'm not necessarily a believer. Some people can take that conflict off into, well, there was supposed to be a war. No, wasn't supposed to be a war. A conflict can be a conflict and have a resolution without going to war. So it's how we manage that. And so as long as, because I've heard all these other, you know, often tangent kind of arguments before. Yeah. So I wanted to cut that one off really quick.
Well,
so,
I mean,
to say, are we in this place on Earth because that's the way it's supposed to be? Absolutely not.
You know, there was that old world saying, you know, it was written, you know, it is written. You know, why is something happening? Well, it is written. It is written in the book of life, or, you know, something like that. It's happening because it is written. And it's one of the famous scenes from Lawrence of Arabia, where he goes off on a tangent and say, nothing is written. But it's a good point. The idea that the future is fixed, I think, is in some ways a cop-out. It's something, you know, well, we don't have to, you know, fight for a better future because the future is already fixed in this direction that we think it might be going. No, it's not. The future is changeable by what we do today. I've heard that before. But it's in flux. And I know that time is incredibly complicated. That human beings just, we don't have the, at least, most of us don't have the perception to understand time in its, you know, true form. We can't. But maybe it's something that I have to believe in. You know, I've always said that I try not to really believe in anything, quote unquote. I hope in a lot of things and I have opinions on things, but I'm not willing to cross that bridge because I've been burned before when it comes to belief. But it, maybe I do. Maybe I have to believe in the idea that we can change the future, that we're not on just some track, that we can, you know, build towards something better.
You know, Dr. Darlene has said in the chat, are we not creators? And Wendy backed that up saying, I feel you can always change your future and the future of others by the butterfly effect. I'm in agreement. And however, one thing I have learned in my life is that I can believe I'm making a good decision at a certain time in my life. And, oh, well, that marriage didn't go very well. So, you know, so many years later, I end up right back at the very start of when I made the decision to get married and kind of pick up where I left off, you know, in the evolution of my own life and what I was doing. So we can get off track, and that's what I'm kind of saying. That, and, of course, hindsight's always the teacher. But we are the creators, and we can believe that we can believe that we've got free will, but free will is still within the frequency.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, everything's a balance, right? Everything's a balance between two things. I mean, nothing. It's not all determinism. It's not all, you know, free will to the extreme. Everything's a blend of everything else. You know, that's why we exist in a reality where paradoxes exist. Things that are both true, but if this is true, then this shouldn't be true, but it is true. How can these both be true? It happens all the time.
All the time. You know, all my life I've heard, especially in the new age reality or, you know, movement, people saying, you know, we're here to learn. Yeah, well, to me, that goes as far as what we are continually learning about in the circumstance of our incarnation. We are here to create. We are here to manifest and create and evolve ourselves individually and collectively on this planet. And so it's how much can we evolve? How much can we, when, you know, determine our own future when there's a lot of parameters set? Because I want to be very careful to say we live in a westernized individualistic society, and we like to believe as individuals we have a lot of power.
Yeah,
we're not necessarily a collective type of society as in many Asians or other cultures might be. Now that said, be careful what we state in metaphysics, because it must apply to everyone of every circumstance. So yes, we're here to create, and yes, we're here to grow this place, but there are also casualties of that creation. So, and I think we have to become more collective so that there are fewer casualties in that way. But what are we as individualistic, you know, cultures here willing to give up to have that collectivism? You know, and that, again, is free will, but it's also we're very selfish, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, the best of us can, you know, we'll have our moments. But, you know, in talking about this and talking about the difference between, you know, individualistic societies and collectivist societies, you know, it goes back just thousands and thousands of years.
Yes.
I mean, there's always just, yeah. It's been one of those kind of, you know, fundamental things about the you know, the broad West and, you know, broadly the East. And you know, while we're talking about that, can we just drop the notion that Europe is its own continent? It's the Eurasian continent. You know, all right, come on. It's just all right, moving on. But it sounds
I
like
guess we have to be cautious about how we're observing and what we're observing. And the more we know who we are as in, you know, that autonomous sovereign being of the universe, you know, in a body, seeing life through our eyes and keeping an open mind. And that's what everybody learns at IMHS and through the program for sure, mm-hmm. is that it may not be all that we think it is.
And that's the truth.
So I think that there's always a mystery afoot. And yeah. I'm always shocked. I mean, really, I am surprised. I used to think nothing could surprise me. Things do surprise me. And it's that mystery, like all these sevens for Jamil.
Yeah.
Wow, you know. So we're just kind of hypothesizing, you know, what that could be. It's just a guess. But it's only going to mean what it means to Jamil, you know.
Well, and you know, the weird thing about reality is that, I mean, yes, you can, well, you can, in a certain way, create something from nothing. Belief in something kind of creates a thing. Belief in, well, let's rephrase this another way. It's been found, the most, recent information that biologists, you know, claim to know about evolution suggests that it's not simply a, you know, purely biological process, but that intent goes into it, behavior goes into it, experiences go into it, and we've talked about that before. Dr. Vicky, you made some great points about, you know, genetic memory and how far it goes back and things like that. So we know that it, our experiences and, you know, who we are kind of goes into that next generation in a way that we can see, you know, with the tools of modern science in a way that we couldn't before. We can see now that there is something to be said of, you know, genetic memory. We can see that there's something, you know, to that depth. And, you know, let's just talk about that. How much of who we are is influenced by our forebears and their behaviors? Mm-hmm. And is it a chain? You have to tie it into the kind of this overall, you know, topic. But the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, I love to bust out history any chance I get. And, you know, one thing I've been kind of going back and forth myself on, you know, I've been doing just dives into history left and right, you know, the old world of the Assyrians and Babylonians and Elamites, who were the precursors to the Persians. These people that existed, you know, almost 4,000 years ago in 1800 BCE. And just the way that they lived. And the odd thing is, those people that lived in, you know, roughly, you know, 1800 BCE to 400 BCE, they would eventually have museums of artifacts from people from a couple thousand years before their time in their cities and things. It's striking how modern it is. But going through all these stories, it's pulled me from the idea of the great human theory, I'll say it is, where history pivots on the decisions of individuals, or kind of the collective, you know, movement theory, where society is moving in a certain direction, and if it hadn't been, you know, this person, it would have been somebody else. You know, if it hadn't been Martin Luther with the Reformation, it would have been somebody else, because of just what was going on with the Catholic Church at the time. It, you know, forced it. And so I've kind of adopted a blend. And that ties into this idea, kind of this theme of, you know, free will, because, you know, it's about history too. It, does history hinge on, you know, certain individuals?
Well, it certainly hinges on individuals and collective energy. And I would just, both. From what you're saying, Michael, is every 2,000 years, we're in the age of Pisces. And, of course, there's a lot of documentation, historical accounts of this, and again, whatever you believe, being in that age of Pisces, we are very quickly on the precipice of changing into a new age. So we will go from that age of Taurus to the age of Pisces, the age of Aquarius. Do you see? So we're now, I think, whether the planet likes it or not, people like it or not, capitalists like it or not, we are in a major energetic shift. So again, that what you're talking about, how you're referencing those, you know, past few thousand years, it's every 2,000 years or thereabouts that collectively societies purge and go through this overhaul.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because I was listening to another deep dive into history, and there's this whole mystery about the end of the Bronze Age, and you get some startling accounts from the Egyptians, who were around forever. They just existed in their form one way or another for just 4,000 years, just carrying on being Egyptians, doing their thing. Gods would change from time to time. You know, their styles would change from time to time. Ironically, they had the first monotheistic religion when one of their pharaohs decided that only one of the Egyptian gods was the true god and made him the only god for his lifetime, and then they went back to the old ways after he died. But it's the end of the Bronze Age. So the mystery is, end of the Bronze Age, you know, roughly 4,000 years ago. This is the end of the, you know, kind of ancient world. It's the time before the Assyrians, before the Babylonians really were at their height and things like that, before that era that I was just referencing earlier. And nobody really knows why, but just all these advanced civilizations just started, you know, kind of toppling. There's a lot of theories, you know, famine.
Turn the zodiac backward.
You know, climate, different changes, and all there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, from the Egyptian side, because there were vast trade networks at the time, there were complex, you know, societies, and the Egyptians would write about how these different cities would just start dropping off. You wouldn't hear anything from them. They wouldn't get any messages or traders back from them. And slowly, you know, just people just were dropping off. And, you know, they blame it on these sea people, and that's just a whole dive of me lecturing about history that I just realized I'm starting to go down. But the idea is that 4,000 years ago, you have that. Roughly 2,000 years ago, well, 1,500-ish, you have the whole, you know, fall of the West. And, well, that's not exactly a great analogy, though, because at that time, when the West and Europe was going through the fall of the Western Roman Empire, the other parts of the world were having golden ages of scientific and, you know, cultural discovery. So these kind of cultural...
But how much free will is in all of that? If we know that we're already in a change, shouldn't we all just get with the damn program? Sorry, did I just say that out loud?
Well, but...
I mean, this is the point. If we know, if we are intelligent enough and we have all access to this history, it's like me learning the lessons of my own life to evolve as a spiritual being in a body in this incarnation. And we have all this wonderful knowledge, and you're gaining all this wonderful knowledge from your history. Then we put a puzzle piece together. Is it not to our benefit collectively to get with the program and keep evolving? Because I think Christianity is going out. And that's my absolute belief. And this big last-ditched attempt for Christianity and organized religion to have its way with the world is out of here.
And I think, are you referencing just like basically organized religion at large, you know, all the Abrahamic religions? Would you include like Hinduism and, well, Buddhism's kind of easy peasy going. I don't see how that could be in there.
I think any type of religion that is enforces its will and is violent, period. And none, to me, and I'm just going to say my opinion, none has been more violent than the Christian religion. There's, I know that there's so many different factions we can talk about without doing that. Right now, we're in a time where there's this real big attempt at Christianity rising up and to take over more individualistic societies. And individuals are going to have to say about that, which I'm glad about.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, we're talking about momental shifts. I mean, the shift is, it's a backlash to the cultural changes and the evolution that we're going through. And this backlash is only happening because of the progress and the momentum that's building. And I think you're right. Just like you said earlier, we're kind of in the last gasps of, I would say, organized religion. And I would say that, you know, in the modern era, in the last 500 years, you can't deny that Christianity, well, the Crusades too, but after the Crusades, you have the Mongols coming through and killing 80 million people throughout Asia. But that's a whole different thing. I guess the point is that there's plenty of evil to go around. But yeah, definitely, Christians have had their definite highlights. They'd be, you know, right up there. But it's the human desire to enforce one's will on others, you know, by the sword and not through ideas and not through debate. And that's what I'm afraid that the world is kind of devolving back to.
I think though, if I'm more forward thinking, I would say, okay, everybody, here's your chance. You see, it's not so much about going back. It's kind of like having a bug's, you know, kind of a big bug's being on your counter and saying, I'm sick of these bugs and that's enough now. Because there's only a few of those bugs, but they seem to have very loud, big voices. And so it's really a matter of getting a handle on it. So statistically, I think by population, you know, if you want to say Democrat, you know, to Republican, okay, it seems to be an even split, but I don't entirely believe that. I think they're more forward-thinking people. And when you start infringing on people's rights, they get upset. So I see that this is an opportunity as we go forward for others to say, no, okay, we have to have a voice now.
Well, and you know, the truth is that people are just always going to be more complex than you realize. It's hard to put a person or a group of people in a box because there's so much diversity of thought. And, you know, there's going to be a backlash to the backlash. That's how change works. That's how evolution goes. You know, humanity doesn't just go in one constant arc forward. It goes, you know, in a bunny hop, I've heard it called. You know, it's sometimes two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes three steps forward, four steps back. And then sometimes it's 10 steps back and you have a dark age. But just, you know, well, it's, you know, just endless, fascinating. And I want to go on, but I realize we're starting to run into our next
hard
segment.
Time. I know. Jamil was saying to Wendy she thought her chat was interrupted, and he said he thought it might be intercepted by extraterrestrials. Now, hey people, just for the record, I've been following MUFON on Facebook, and the videos are incredible. People claim there are more sightings throughout the world than there has been in a long time. I can't tell you if that's true, but it sure is interesting to watch. So maybe you want to check out their page, MUFON Official Facebook. It's interesting.
Yeah.
See, how much free will do we have?
Well, we have a modicum. We can at least count on that. But all right.
I'm just saying, if you know, I'm hoping that.
I mean, are you trying to imply that? Are you trying to imply that the extraterrestrials are controlling our brains through, you know, like Netflix and streaming services now in 5G? Is that what you're trying to say?
No,
because I mean that's what I'm saying. But
no, I think people have done that. I think that there's some talk. Again, people can look this up. That, you know, ETs have helped to prevent nuclear and otherwise attacks, and trying to keep us in check a little bit. And so, I mean, I like to think we have some guardian angels, and that's how I see it. So
it's better than like some kind of, you know, hive mind Borg species that's going to come and just take the natural resources.
But, okay, the first card up is for Ardra. Oh my God, this is such a good conversation. It can get really heated. I apologize to Dr. Kelly, who's listening.
I think we have Dr. Mike first. Actually, but
Do we? Okay, I didn't see.
Unless did I throw one in before the? Oh no, yeah.
No, right, Dr. Mike.
All right, so Dr. Mike, I have number 19. Invoke the counselor within. Let's see, number 19. Invoke the counselor within. Should have been better prepared. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you. Great card for the topic.
Well, and the support cards to that in a message, Mike, is the Seven of Spades. And I thought, well, how does that work? You know, that's a little bit of a challenge, but you're getting there. So I drew another card, and it was the Ace of Diamonds. So if there's something entrepreneurial that you're doing, invoke the counselor within, follow your own path, and go ahead with your own good judgment of what's right for you. That's clearly my message that comes out in that. And we're going to have to be in touch with Dr. Mike in the, you know, next week or two, and hopefully we'll have him on the program.
Yeah, that'd be great. I know that we were talking about that trip to Roswell, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm excited.
All right. And we have Audra next. Audra, I have number 5, the Law of Control. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that which you are entitled to control. Do not give an unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
And I got the Ace of Wands, the Ace of Clubs in support of that. I think what this is saying is, it's like an affirmation of your own accomplishments, Audra, that you have achieved what you have achieved. And the law of control is maybe don't let other people minimize or try to minimize what you ought to be recognized for. So that was the first thing that came to mind. So confidence, because you got this. That's how I feel about that.
Very good.
Now we have Jamil, so warm up your fingers there, Michael.
I'm actually actively shuffling right now. This is going to be totally random. I'm not going to just, you know, do something. Oh, crap. Well, close enough. I was going to say a card fell out, so I was like, all right, let's see what that one is. Not necessarily 7, but it is 27. I'm rolling with it. We're going to call it a halfsies. But number 27, gains. Every choice and action has a trade-off and a result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains. That is a good card. I don't know if we pulled that one in a very long time.
I don't think we have. Wendy said it's still in the 7th.
That's true. I mean, because there were some 17. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's in the 7th line.
Well, I have the 6 of diamonds or 6 of pentacles in support of gains. I really like that number. So I'm going to sound really cliche and hokey, say you might have some money coming to you or some kind of reward unexpected coming your way, Jamil. So I know gains is has its own energy, as Michael's read to you, but when you pair that with the 6 of diamonds, yeah, it could be, I could take the total negative and say it could be somebody wants money from you, but I'm not seeing it that way. My feel is that, you know, value for value, and yet there's something extra for you. So something that you have earned, and a gift is coming your way. Gotta love a gift.
Wow. All right. Let's see. I was just catching up on a couple of things in chat, but I do believe Dr. Darlene is next.
It is, Darlene.
All right. I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep within your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
You've got a transformation afoot here, Darlene, because you've got the magician. And insight and wisdom with the magician, it's turning something not necessarily negative, but turning something that's maybe not so shiny into something really magical. So it's using your intuition and the knowledge that you have gained in your life to bring about the changes that you want. And I'm going to say my feeling about that is some kind of prosperity also. So feeling like you're getting ahead. So I hope that makes sense to you. Certainly is encouraging. I like that. Ah, we have Wendy next, I think, Michael. Are you on mute, Michael?
No. Stop it. Why does that happen so frequently? It's because I'm trying to be polite when I'm clearing my throat and coughing, and then I forget.
There we go.
Okie dokie. So, Wendy, I pulled wild card number 9 blank. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers that you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be, and it is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, in the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
2 of clubs. So, I think what this is saying, Wendy, you might be changing your views a little bit about your future. Maybe, you know, a delete and backspace here and add over here. So a goal that may, and I'm going to go along with the 2 here, perhaps a 2-year goal for yourself. It's just what it looks like in 2 years is kind of changing color. And I think that's a really good thing. Sometimes we have to, you know, stop, take inventory and say, you know, I think I've changed my mind a little bit. And I want to go there and have a little more of that. And so it's a really good card. I think you just can have anything you want at this point, Wendy. I love the blank card. I love it.
It is. And it's kind of encouraging to, you know, kind of create what you need it to be and create your own reality in a way. And just kind of going on that topic of 7s earlier that we were talking about, Jamil said just fascinating he got another card ending in 7. And it is it is true, because I was just actively shuffling and it did just kind of fall out. So I think all the better. But all right, we have Dr. Kevin next. And Dr. Kevin, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
Well, I got the Five of Hearts with that one, Kevin, the Five of Cups in tarot language. And I've always seen that symbol as taking inventory. Certainly it's in no way negative, but it's taking a moment to look at what you have, what you can kind of unload, you know, sometimes doing a deep cleanse or paring down. Maybe you think you got too much clutter, you want to kind of declutter. And so it could be about ideas or plans. It could actually be about the physicality in your home. You know, just kind of taking inventory. When you do that, then there's way more space for new things to come. So I think that's just the energy that's floating around for you right now. It's a good one.
All right. I like it. And I think we have Dr. Edward next. And I think he's our last card, if I didn't miss anybody. And Dr. Edward, I have number 32, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind of paying it forward. A kind act of paying it forward, excuse me. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, or relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, the Four of Diamonds, or the Four of Pentacles, is the first one that I pulled, Edward, and I thought, I think I know what that is trying to say, but I'll pull another one. It was the Six of Clubs. That's a really good support there. Sympathy and empathy with, interestingly enough, with the Four of Diamonds is, see, that's kind of a miserly, hang on to it, sit tight, push the pause button kind of moment. So if you don't know how to respond to something, then you should push the pause button. Or, you know, certainly ask yourself, what good would come from me saying this, or how can I do this, and what would happen if I did that? And the Six of Clubs is saying just a reinforcement, absolutely. So if you're kind of in a situation where you're trying to figure out how to sympathize or empathize with somebody, just take a moment, take inventory, and then you'll know best how to manage, and it will go in a much better direction for you. So, you know, sometimes we all have to do that. Push the pause button. I like it.
You do.
All right. And I think that's all.
That's it, I think, for really, our cards tonight.
I know.
Amazing. It's gone by in a blast.
It's been a great discussion. Thanks, Michael.
That is my name, yes.
I get really excited about these kinds of conversations because they can go in so many different directions.
Yeah.
And even when we're pulling cards, and, you know, how much your free will is in there. I'm always kind of amazed by it.
Well, and I guess if you were going to apply free will to pulling cards, would free will be me, like, just selectively going through and like, no, that one doesn't feel right for them. No, I don't like that one either. All right, how about this one? Would that be more of that kind of thing? Or is it just like the randomness of how, do you intend like the randomness of how different cards pop up for different people, and kind of is like the universe trying to tell you a message or kind of emphasize something?
Well, you know, we can talk about that maybe in part two.
Yeah.
I mean, is it something you're instantly drawn to? Because I'd like to share a couple of things, like even with the tarot cards, you know, fan them out and have somebody put their hand over the cards, and wherever you feel the heat, is that's the card that wants to speak to you. But, and that can work, taking the time, or you can just look at those cards and say, which one's speaking to me, automatically go to it, which is what you and I have been doing. So both ways work, but is it random or is it a connection? How much of a connection? You know, I think it is a connection, but that can be argued.
Yeah.
Free I don't know. Will?
Well, how does it all tie in? What does it all mean? Yeah. What is the meaning of life?
I don't know the meaning to my life right now.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, I guess what is the truth of existence is probably a better way of saying that, because the meaning of life, well, we all give life our own meaning. We all take it. We all have a different approach to life. You know, what's the meaning of life? To make the world a little bit better than you found it, in whatever way that means for you, even if that makes somebody else happy. But so yeah, I think maybe touching on this a little bit next week, or you know, seeing what we can flesh out, or you know, we'll be open to topics on our Facebook group. We were kind of on the fly on this one, so didn't post much in advance material, but we will do so moving forward. And yeah, just been a fantastic discussion. Thank you, everybody. Thank you again to Wendy for putting those facts in the chat, which just led to a great discussion.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
And any last thoughts, Dr. Vicki?
I just want everybody to hang in there right now and take inventory of life, watch the show, know when to stand up, when to move forward. You know, that's just the way it goes with life sometimes, one day at a time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Free will. Free will sometimes means sit still and do nothing.
Oh, yeah. Doing nothing is a choice. Make note about it. Well said, Dr. Vicki. Well, with that, we're looking forward to seeing everybody next week. We appreciate you joining us tonight. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.